Today's shiur is Masechet Shavuos Daf Mem, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the second wide line. In our previous shiur, we had learned extensively the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel. When we speak about a case of Moed B'Mikzas, what are the circumstances of a Moed B'Mikzas with halacha of the Torah that somebody who's a Moed B'Mikzas has to take a shiur applies? Rav's opinion was that the denial has to be shtei kesef, whereas Shmuel's opinion was that as long as the case was a case about shtei kesef, that serves to be an example of a moed b'mikzas. So ask the Gemara on Shmuel. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, if somebody says to somebody else, shtei kesef yesh to biyotcha, the claimant says that you owe me two kesef, and the person responds, I only owe you a pruta potter. Says the Marmai Tama, what is the reason why it won't be a case of Maidu Mixus? Because there was no denial of Shtei Kesef, which clearly is a refutation of Shmuel, because Shmuel, unlike Rav, does not need a refutation of Shtei Kesef. Answers the Gemara, Amlecha Shmuel. So Shmuel responds, the way to understand the Mishnah, Misavit Shavuktani, don't learn that the Mishnah is speaking about that the claim was for a certain amount and the denial was for a different amount. And that's why the Mishnah is saying, since the amount for the denial was insufficient, it's not Moed B'Mikzas. But rather, the issue of our Mishnah, Dafkuktani, that the Mishnah is speaking about a case where the claim was for silver and the response was for pruta, which is a copper coin. And therefore, the issue here is entirely a different issue. Masha tainalai lehaidalai, masha idalai lehaidalai, as we learned and we're going to learn, for it to be considered a real case of Moed B'Mikzas, it has to be a situation where the claim and the counterclaim are about the same subject. But if here the claim is for silver and the counterclaim is for copper, that's why it's not Moed B'Mikzas. Says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to learn the Mishnah, continues the Mishnah, Yochi, if so, Eimah Sefer, let's continue learning the Mishnah. But somebody, the Mishnah spoke about Shtei Kesef, Pruta Yesh Debiotcha. The claim is for two Kesef and a Pruta. And the person towards whom the claim was made responds, Ein Lecha Biyadei Ela Pruta, I only owe you a pruta. That's going to be a case, says the Mishnah, of chayiv, of making a shvua, a moed b'mikzas. So makes the merits point. Yeah, b'shlam b'shava, that the Mishnah is speaking about not the specific coins, but the value of the coins. So therefore, m'shem hachi, we could understand why in this case there's a chayiv shvua. Because even though the claim is for silver and the counterclaim is for copper, we don't focus on the type of coin. When we speak about coins, we speak about value. And value, doesn't make a difference what type of coin we begin with. The value is the focus. Eli Amrit Dafka. But if we're going to say that the Mishnah is to be understood, silver is silver, copper is copper. So why in this case, Amai Chayiv, why would there be a Shvua Moed B'Mikzas? Ma Shatana Loi Hoidaloi, Ma Shahidaloi Loi Tanoi. He claimed silver, and he was responded to about copper. So why would it be considered a case of Moed B'Mikzas? Answers the Gemara, Midu Tam El Shmuel. The entire question that you just posed is according to the opinion of Shmuel. Hamar of Chachman Am Shmuel, Tanachitim Asiren, Shmuel is going to hold. There was a claim for two types of material, wheat and barley, for example, Hoidaloi Bechman Chayiv. And therefore, here too, the Seif is going to be talking about a case where it was a claim for silver and copper. And since he responded with copper, that's enough for it to be considered Moed B'Mikzas in Shmuel, even though we're going to be learning the Mishnah very literal that he asked for silver and copper and was responded to about copper. Says the Gemara, Hachinami Mistabra. It says the Gemara, it makes sense to learn Pshat in the Mishnah this way. Because let's continue learning the Mishnah. Midik Tani Seifa, the Mishnah continues teaching us that if somebody says, Lit Rezov, Yesh Debiotcha, you owe me a liter of Zov, And the other person responded, "And l'chayel b'yitchilat l'itra kesef, I owe you a liter of kesef pata." So, eh, Amrit, says the Gemara, if we're going to learn, the way to learn the Mishnah is dafka k'tani, that gold is gold and silver is silver. So now we could understand the psak of the Mishnah pater, because he was, the claim was about gold and the response was about silver. That's why it's not masha hoida loitana. Eliam shava. But if we're going to say that when we look at cases of the Mishnah, we look at the value, not exactly at the claim. Am I pater? Why is he pater? Litra, a liter of kesef, is a large amount of money. A liter of kit of zav is a lot of money. A liter of kesef is a lot of money, and it's certainly more than a shtei kesef. So why shouldn't this be a moed of a mixus? Rather, says the Gemara, now we have to ask a question on Rav. But the sefer dafka, if we're going to say that the sefer speaking about, because when I say gold, I mean gold, and when I say silver, I mean silver, and that's why it's not going to be considered moed of a mixus. And Reisha nami dafka, and the Reisha also speaks about a case where the claim was silver and the admission was copper. Lame to you of the Rav. Shouldn't this be a question of Rav? The Rav explained at the beginning of our shiur today that the Mishnah is speaking about, not about that they specifically asked for these types of material, says the Gemara, but rather they're talking about the value. And they're talking about the value, it should be a case of Maidah B'mixus. Answers the Gemara, Amlach Rav Kulim Asnis and Shava. The whole Mishnah speaking about, when we spoke about coins, we don't look at the exact type of coin. We'd rather focus on the value of the coin. Litra shel zav shani. But when the question was about liter of gold, so he didn't use gold as a currency. If you use gold as a currency, so then you could say that gold and silver and copper are all the same, because we're not looking at them as a commodity, but we're looking at them as a currency. But when somebody says liters of, he doesn't mean it as a currency, he means it as a commodity. It says the Gemara. So according to Rav, the way we're going to now understand the Mishnah, that in all the cases of the Mishnah, when it spoke about gold or silver or copper, it viewed it only as a currency. This is the one case when literish or zav was used, it's meant as a commodity, and the commodity gold and the commodity silver are not the same. It says Marteda, that that's the way to understand the Mishnah properly. The Tani Sefer, let's continue learning in the Sefer. The Mishnah says, if somebody says, Dinazov Shalesh Libiotcha, son, Dinazov Libiotcha, Yomi, a Dinazov. And the other person responds, Ein Lecha Biyadi, no Adina Kesef, I owe you a Adina Kesef. Or if he says, I owe you a Tresis, which is a smaller coinage, or Pudyon, Pruta Chayiv. Why? Shakal Min Metbea Achis. And they're all the same type of coin. If we're going to say, whenever the Mishnah speaks about coins, we look at coins as a currency. It doesn't make a difference what type. Shemhachi, that's why we could understand why in all these cases, it's called an example of Moed B'Mixus. Eliyahu Medafka, gold is gold, silver is silver, Amai Chayiv. So we see that the proper way of learning the Mishnah is when the Mishnah speaks about coins, we don't look at them as what type of coin they are. We look at them as currency, immaterial of what type of coin they are. Amar Belazer says the Gemara, our Mishnah could be understood b'dafka, that case, not b'tana b'din matbeis. The claim was that the claim was that you owe me a certain amount of coins, and he was responded that I admit I owe you a certain amount of coins. And since we're focused on the word coins, it doesn't make a difference what type of coin. If that's the case, of course, it's an example of Moed B'Mixus. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us? Kamashman, what the Mishnah is coming to teach us, the Pruta B'Chal Metbei Isa, that even a Pruta, even though it's a very small coin, and the Rimi Gash explains, since it was a small, insignificant coin, They didn't put a tzura. They didn't mint it. Or another pshat is that it does. The Ritva says even if it has some sort of tzura on it, it fades away. It's still considered a coin. Dekanami and says Rabbi Lazar, I'll tell you what's my proof that this is the proper way of learning the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said she'akol midmat beyachas. So the Mishnah was focusing that they're all coin. Rav, so now the Rav says that Rav, who had not focused that they're all the same, because they're all coins, as he just said, how will he understand the Mishnah? He's going to say, Hakol din mat beyachas, they all have the halach of a coin, even though they're not the same type of coin. Rabbi Lazar, says the Gemara now, Rabbi Lazar has explained that the Sefer is speaking about specifically a type of coin. So if we see the Rabbi Lazar, which is another way of saying dafka, if we see the Rabbi Lazar explains the Mishnah at the Sefer, with the Sefer Shmuel Mataritz, if he explained the Sefer like Shmuel, is he going to say that the Reisha, Konami Kishmuel Sfirle, that the Reisha is talking about where I was asked, where the claim was for a silver worth 2 ma, and he responded with copper that's worth a pruta, and the only reason that it's not Maidim Amixis is because it's silver and gold. But if they would have been speaking about value, so it would be chayiv, even though it doesn't represent a denial of shtei kesef, says the Gemara Loi. Says the Gemara, just because Rabbi Lazar explained the Sefer like Shmuel doesn't compel him to explain the Reisha like Shmuel. Sefer dafka ktani, as we just explained, that the Sefer is speaking about coins, shakel matbin mebeyachas, and the Mishnah is saying that they're all considered coins, and that's why it's going to be a legitimate example of Maidim Amixis. Reisha, the Reisha he could explain either like Rav, that says it's talking about value, and the reason you potter is because there was no denial of shtei kesef, or like Shmuel, that's going to explain that the Mishnah is speaking about bedafka, and since the claim was silver, and the response was copper, that's why it's not Maidim Amixis. We're not, Rabbi Lazar is not committing how to learn the Reisha, that it should be consistent with Rav Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Toshma. And again, the Gemara wants to bring a raya from the Spraisa to the opinion of Rav, that in the case of Maidim Amixis, we need to have a denial of Shtei Kesef. Toshma, the Spraisa says that if the person makes a claim, Dina Zov Yesh Lebiotcha, Yomi, a coin of Zov, and he responds, Ein Lecha B'yodi El Dina Kesef, is Chayiv, because they're all considered the same. And it doesn't make a difference if he said silver or gold, because we mean the value. What do we see from here? Tama, that he was asking for a type of coin, Domle Zov, Hostama, only because he went out of his way to use the word Zov. Otherwise, we would always say Shava Kamalei, that he means just the value. And that's why it's a raya that when we speak about coins, we don't look at the actual coin, we look at the value. Amar Ravashi says the Gemara, it's not a raya. It could be that even when somebody just uses the word Dinah Zov, Hachikomer, he means a gold dafka. Why did this Brisa use the case of Dinah Zov, Hachikomer? Kol Oim Dinah Zov, what the Brisa was teaching us is that when you just use the word Zov, it's the same, Kol Oim Dinah Zov, Dami, that just like when you say Zov, you certainly mean gold. Here too, it means, even just using Zov, that's what it means, which would be like the opinion of Shmuel. But says the Gemara, Tan Rav Chila Seyula Rav, Rav Chila learned the Braisa, which supports Rav's opinion, where somebody said, Sela li biyotcha, you owe me a Sela, and he said, Ein lecha biyotcha el Sela chosa shtei kesef, and responded that I owe you a Sela less shtei kesef, or Denis Chayiv, because there was a denial of shtei kesef. But if had he said, I owe you a seller, chosama, only one shekel kesef potter, this brisa clearly indicates that the denial has to be shtei kesef, which is exactly Rav's opinion.
Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Mishmul, Loi Shana El Tanis Mil Vaidos Loiva. These halachas that we're speaking about how much does the claim have to be, how much does the denial have to be, is only in a case of Moedav Mixus. Avo Tanis Mil Vaidos Erechad, if in a case where the Loiva denies entirely, or in a case where there's an eid echad against him, afilu loitan el pruta, then all of these requirements of how much money we're speaking about fall away. Chayiv, that type of shvu you have to make, no matter what type of amount we're talking about. My tama, what's the reason for saying that? Because the Torah says, the ksiv, that an eid echad is insufficient. And we learn from this pasuk, l'chol oven l'chol chatas u'deinu kam, an eid echad is insufficient, av kam u'shvua, for shvua he is sufficient. V'tanya, and what does this mean, explains the b'raisa, that kam makum shishneim b'chayvin es umamin, that were there to be two eidim, we would have to pay, eid echad m'chayv shvua. Now if you have two eidim, that somebody owes you money, then the halacha is you have to pay. The same thing will be when you have one aid, no matter how little is involved, then the halacha is you're going to have to pay. Of course, this is not 100% accurate, because the halacha is that by karka, you don't make a shvua, it makes a difference, even if there's an eid echad, even if it's a lot of money on the table. Also, the Rishonim point out, there's another type of shvua, which we really haven't discussed, and that's called shvuas hashomrim. That's when somebody, for example, was watching somebody else's object, a shomer chinam, and then he claims that it was stolen, that he has to swear. What are the requirements for that shvua? The opinion of the Ramban, the Balamon, the Ritva, is it has to be something that the object that was being watched equals with stay kesef. And the reason they say this is because the pasuk of Moed B'Mixus that we've been focusing on is the middle of the parasha of Shomrim. So if we're learning that there are certain minimums in value by Moed B'Mixus, so must be the halacha by Shomrim as well. The Rimi Gash and the Rambam and the Rashba disagree. And they say that the parsha of Moed B'Mixus indeed gives us minimums, as we've been discussing and will continue discussing. But as the Gemara says in Baba Kama, there's a situation of Ira Parshias. Ira Parshias means that the parsha of Moed B'Mixus was brought in, was stated in the middle of the parsha of Shomrim. But even though it was stated in the parsha of Shomrim, it doesn't mean that the halachas are connected in any way. And therefore, even though for Moed B'Mixus, as we're learning, there are minimum values, it won't have to do anything with the halacha of Shomrim. There are no minimum values. We're also going to learn the halacha of a Shvuas Hesus. A Shvuas Hesus is when somebody completely denies that he owes anything. Whereas we've been learning, Midaraisa, there's no Chiv Shvua by a Shvuas Hesus, but by such a case of complete denial. But the Rabbanan instituted a Shvuas Hesus that the person who's completely denying that he owes any money has to make a Shvua. So a sugya that we're going to learn in Amud Beis. And the Rishonim discuss what will be the din by Shvuas Hesus. Is there a minimum amount required for Shvuas Hesus? Or once Chazal instituted the Shavuos Hesus law, it doesn't make a difference. It applies under all circumstances. And the Ran says that a Shavuos Hesus cannot be stricter. The Shavuos Hesus cannot be any stricter than the Shavuos Moed B'Mixus. And by Moed B'Mixus, we're learning there are minimum values, there are minimum amounts that are required. So too will be the din by Shavuos Hesus. V'amram Nachman Shmuel, Tanu Chita V'Soyrim. If there was a claim about wheat and barley, and he admitted to one of them, chayiv, because that's considered a situation of moedim mixes. Amalei Rav Yitzchak. So Amalei Rav Yitzchak, when Rav Yitzchak heard this, he said, Yasher, what you said is correct. Ken Amar Rav Yochanan, so did Rav Yochanan say. Says the Gemara, the fact that he indicated, Michal, that he said, V'cheir Amar Rav Yochanan, is that an indication the Palagar Shlokish disagrees on this halacha. Ikadamri, some say that that doesn't mean that Rish Lakish disagree. They just didn't know what Rish Lakish held. Ikadamri Misha have a shoyle shosiklei. Rish Lakish was quiet as Rabbi Yochanan made the statement. And then Rabbi Yitzchak left the Beis Medrash. And he never heard what was Rish Lakish's opinion. Ikadamri, and that's why we just don't know what Rish Lakish holds. Vikadamri, Mishta have a shasa, v'shasaklei. Rish Lakish was drinking as this was happening, and therefore, since he was drinking, he wasn't able to comment, and therefore, they did not know what he said. And from here, we see a question: if somebody's drinking, does he have to? The Pesukim say, is he allowed to drink in the Beis Medrash as they're talking or learning? And here we clearly see that at that time, Rish Lakish was possibly drinking. And from here we see that he's allowed to drink even though they're talking and learning. Some want to differentiate between water that the halacha is that you're allowed to drink versus others. But the Mishnah Berurah says that it's appropriate if somebody is drinking as everybody is learning, he should turn his face away. Says the Gemara, Lema Masailei, so we say that from here we have a raya, that Shmuel's opinion, as we've been saying, that if Tano Chita V'Soirim, if there was a claim about wheat and barley, and there was admission to one of them, that he's chayiv. Because the Mishnah said, Tano Chitim, if the claim was for Chitin, and the other person admitted to Soirim Potter, Ragumil Mechayiv. So how do we understand the Tanakama? Tama, because the claim was for Chitin, and the Hoidalei B'Soirim. Ha, doesn't this indicate that if the claim were for Chitin B'Soirim, for Choyde Bechman, Chayiv, that there would be example of Moedav Mixes? Loi, says the Gemara, the Mishnah is not a proof to Shmuel's opinion. Because we could certainly say, Hu adin dafil chitin v'sayrim, even if the claim was for chitin v'sayrim, and he admitted to one of them, he'll be potter. So why do we choose to speak about the case of chitin, where the claim was chitin and the counterclaim was sayrim? Tell me a bigger chiddush, that if the claim was chitin v'sayrim, and the response was one of them, that it's not moedav mixes, l'diyacha koicha d'Rav Gamliel. To tell us how strong Rav Gamliel holds, because we know that the opinion of Rav Gamliel is that even if the claim was for chitin and the response is for sayrim, Rav Gamliel holds that that's considered a case of moedav mixes. So the Rishonim and Achronim discuss that normally when the Gemara says l'diyacha koicha, it's coming to teach us the person who is lenient. And here we're trying to teach us that the opinion of a Gamliel, who's more machmer. So Rekiv Eger and the Chasam Sofer, which is really based on Tosfos, say that when it comes to Mammon, it's the Chiddush is to tell us that somebody has to pay. Because normally, unless you could definitively prove that I have to pay, I don't have to pay. So to teach me that the halach is that you have to pay, that's a chiddush that we would learn. But here, it's just the opposite. In a normal case, if we don't know if a shvuah is required or not, the halach is you don't have to make the shvuah. Our Mishnah wants to teach us that the chiddush is that Gamliel holds that in this case, it's not even a question. Rather, in this case, it's certainly a situation where you're going to have to make a shvuah. Tashma. So again, the Gemara wants to know, what is the case of Moedav Mixes? Tana Kel V'Kakos. Mishnah actually speaks about a case where somebody made a claim for Kelim Akarka, for Hoedav Kelim, and the other one agree, the respond that I owe you the kain v'kaf v'kakos, or b'kakos, or he admitted about the karak of a kafah b'kalim, potter. In both of these cases, he's potter from a shvua. When he denied about the karka, the loch is einish born al kakos. And when he denied about the kalim, the loch is because the door on the karka doesn't bring a shvua. However, hoidu mixes kakos, if he denied some of the karka, potter. Why is he potter? Because a karka doesn't make you make a shvua. But if he was moida mixes kalim, so therefore, and he was kofer on the rest of the kalim and on the karka, chayiv. He has to make two shvus. One is on the kalim, because that's a real example of moida mixes. And then there's a concept of gilgul shvua, which teaches us that once he has to make a shvua on the karka, on the kalim, even though normally you don't make a shvua on the karka, here you will. But what do we see? Tam of the kalim v'kakos, that in the case when he was moedav mixes, it's a case of he was asked for kalim v'karka, and he admitted to karka, and karka is last by shvuhu. Or kalim v'kalim, if it would be a case we admitted to some kalim, if he was asked about two types of kalim, and he admitted to some, he's chayiv. And it's not considered not moedav mixes, since he was moedav about some of the kalim. Isn't that clearly like Shmuel? Says Mora, who didn't feel kalim nami potter? Because it has to be that the claim and the counterclaim about the exact same item. Vada tani kalim v'kakos, kamash malon, t'chichayda mixes kalim, that when he was moida on some of the kalim, that there was a claim against him for, chayiv af, then he is chayiv ashvur, even the kakaris. Like why? What's the reason for that? As we explained, my kamashmon, the concept of zoikikin, the concept of gilgul shvua, that once I have to make some shvua, I make a shvua even in cases where I normally would not make. But ask the Gemara, isn't that a Mishnah that's already taught in Masechta Kedushin, Dav Chav Vav Amin Aleph, that says zoikin es nechosim sheesh nechrayis l'shavim aleim, that if there's a case where we have to make a shvua on nechosim sheesh nechrayis, which we explained means metatlin, and then there's a claim about karka, Gilgul Shvua tells us that you should make a Shvua on that as well. Answers the Gemara, Ha'ikar. Really, the halacha of Gilgul Shvua is taught here. We're learning Masechta Shvuas, which is the place to learn the halacha of Shvuas. The Mishnah Masechta Gedushin, because of the other halachas that are taught there about selling property and what type of a kinyan and on what does that kinyan have to be made, taught us Agav Urcha the halacha of Gilgul Shvua. But that's not really the place to teach it. Rabbi Chibar continues the Gemara. Chibar Abama, Rabbi Yochanan Tana Chitav Asayrim. Unlike Shmuel, he holds Tana Chitav Asayrim for Hoydalay Baachsmahen, the loch is Potter, because that's not considered Moedav Mixes, says the Gemara. But didn't we learn a few moments ago that when Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, Tana Chitav Asayrim for Hoydalay Baachmahem Chayiv, didn't Rabbi Yitzchak say Yashur that you're correct? So here we have a dispute. What did Rabbi Yochanan hold on this halacha? Answers the Gemara, Amaroyim Ninu Aliv Rabbi Yochanan. The Machlokes Amaroyim, what Rabbi Yochanan holds on this subject. Toshma, the Mishnah says, Tanachitim Vaidle Besarim, Potter, Regamliel Machayiv. Tama, so it seems from the Mishnah, only because Tanachitim Vaidle Besarim, that the claim was Chitin, and the response was soirim, that's why it's not considered moedav mixes. Hachitav soirim, if the claim were by chitav soirim for hoidalai bechamahem, it would be moedav mixes. Not like you're learning now, rather like Shmuel learns. Answers the Gemara, who then lafil chitav soirim? If the claim was chitav soirim, nami potter. It would not be considered moedav mixes, because you said chitav soirim and I only responded soirim. So why did the Mishnah only speak about a case of chitim v'sayrim, chitim versus sayrim? Shouldn't the Mishnah taught us a bigger chiddush of chitim v'sayrim versus sayrim? L'diach koichet Gamliel, that never requires, and he says chitim v'sayrim achayiv, but not referring to this question about mixes ataina. Tashma atana kein v'kakos. The Mishnah says there was a claim by kein v'kakos. The held the bekalim v'kafah b'kakos, or b'kakos v'kafah b'kalim, potter, because there's no shvua on karka. Hoidbuk mixes karka, but if he admitted to some of the karka, potter. But mixes kalim, chayiv. Then you're going to make a shvua not only on the kalim, but even on the karka, because there's a loch of gilgul shvua. But makes the Gemara's point. Tam of the kalim kakos. The only reason you potter is because there was a claim of kalim kakos, and the admission or the denial was about karka, so that's why Einish Barn al Kakos, because the karka labashvuhi, her kalim v'kalim, if there would be a case where there was a claim about kalim, and there was an admission about kalim, chayiv. So we see from here that if two kalim, an admission to one, is like chitim v'sayim, an admission about one, which is exactly what Shmuel said. Says, no, who I didn't feel kalim v'kalim nami potter. If it would be kalim v'kalim and there was admission by one, it would be potter because that's not considered moedim mixes. For hakamashmalon, the moedim mixes kalim, but in a case where there was a proper partial admission, Gilgal Shvua teaches us the chayiv afal kakos, then you chayiv even for the karka. Says the Gemara, again the same question, my kamashmalon, so what is our Mishnah teaching us? The loch of zoikikin, the loch of Gilgal Shvua. But ask the Gemara, isn't that something that we've already learned in the Mishnah in Masechta Kedushin? Zoiking was nechash v'sheish l'machrayis l'shavim aleim. Answers the Gemara, ha ikar, the main place to learn the halacha gigul shvua is here in Masechta Shvuas. Hahi agav grara nuspa, that was only taught because it fell into the Mishnah, but that's not the place that halacha needs to be taught. Here is the place to teach it. Esrei Rav Ask the Gemara, Eser Rabba Bamam Rabchi Bar Abba. The Mishnah said, the Brisa says, Tana Shor, if you claim the Shor. For Hoidle Abbasan, he admitted about a Seh, or vice versa, if the claim was about a Seh, and the mission was about a Shor, he's Potter. Because it's not the same claim and counterclaim. It's talking about two different animals, a Shor and a Seh. But if he would have asked Tana Bishav a Seh, he claimed both of these types of animals. And he admits to one of them, chayiv. So isn't that clearly indication like Shmuel, not like what Rabchi Bar Abba said in the name of Yochanan? Amalei, he said, you can't bring a raya from that braisa, because that braisa, Hamani, represents the opinion of Gamliel, who says even chitim and tsoirim is moedim and mixes. Ask the Gemara, if we're going to say that braisa is representing the opinion of Gamliel, that even the ratio where the Brisa spoke about Shor and Seh, if you're following the opinion of Gamliel, we don't have to have that it should be the same type of claim. And why does the Brisa say that you're potter? According to Gamliel, in those cases, you ought to be chayiv. Says the Gemara, El Hamani, whose opinion does that Brisa represent? Adman. That if somebody says, Chit of Asirim, you're potter. But Chit of Asirim are admitted to one of them is chayiv. And that's the opinion of Adman. Says the Gemara, it's not just I'm trying to come up with some answer. El Talmud Oruchu B'Fisha Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan taught us in the name of his rebbes that this brisa is the opinion of Adman. Says the Gemara, Amar Anan Amar Shmuel Tana Chitin. If somebody made a claim of Chitin, and before he could complete his claim, the person to whom he's making the claim, he right away admitted Besairim. So we're learning here that that's not Moedim Mixes. But we have to look at the circumstances. Im Kamarim, if he looks like he's doing it and saying Sairim before the Toivei could say Chitim Besairim, he just tried to beat him before he could say the Sairim, then he's Chayiv. But Im Meskavin, if the person who made this claim just wanted an answer, you say chitim and I say sairim, and not that he was anticipating or expecting or realizing that this person is about to say sairim as well. So this will be a classical example of chitim and sairim, and he will be potter. Vamar of Anan Amishmul, that Tarnashnei Machtim, if the claim was for two pins, so even though the claim wasn't for something that's worth shtei kesef, The denial wasn't for something that's worth shtei kesef, which we've been learning extensively is the subject of the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel. Is that considered ma'idah b'mitzvus or not? The loch is chayv shvuah. Why? So he explains l'fikach, because when we look in the pasuk emphasizes the word kalim, l'mashahim, to teach us that you chayv b'kalim, even though they're not shavaputa. The reason the Torah singled out kalim is to teach us that by kalim yipater, the kalim yichayv for ma'idah b'mitzvus, and the value is unimportant. Amra papatana kalim upruta. If the claim was about kalim and apruta, for hoyda b'kalim, and the person admitted about the kalim v'kaf of apruta potter, then he's potter. But if hoyda b'pruta v'kaf of b'kalim, then he's going to be chayv shvua. The Gemara explains why. Chada, the first halacha is karav, represents the opinion of Rav. Chada, and the second halacha represents the opinion of Shmuel. Chada, the first halacha, that if the denial was about a pruta, that's the opinion of Rav that we have been learning. Huk Rav, that is the opinion of Rav that's been teaching us that kfir is tainish shtei kesef, that the denial has to be always shtei kesef. And here, if the denial was not for that value, he's potter. For Chadin, the other one is teaching us what Shmuel taught us, that if somebody admitted about the pruta, but he denied about the kelim mitzchayev, because that represents the opinion that Shmuel has been teaching us. That's still considered an example of Moedah B'mitzvus. Teaches us the Mishnah Mana L'biyotcha, if somebody says that I owe you money, and their loiver responds, Ein lecha biyadai, I owe you nothing, potter. Because that's a koi for a kol, not a Moedah B'mitzvus. And when did the Torah say there's a chi of shua? By Moedah B'mitzvus, not by koi for a kol. However, introduces the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, we still, even though there's no chi of shu deraisa, there's a shu de rabbanon of a shu's heses. There's a machlokes rishonim. What does the word heses mean? That one explanation of heses means that Chazal made a determination. Chazal means that they made a determination that that's the right thing that they should do. Another pshat is that they decided amongst themselves, because they were concerned about people doing an Avera, that a Shvua, and completely denying a Shvua, is in order. And it seems that this was a Shvua that was instituted in the time of the Amoraim. There's a Machlokes exactly in the time of the Amoraim, but there are opinions that say that it was already instituted in the time of the Tanoim. The basis of this claim, says the Gemara, is my Tama. Why did Chazal institute this Shvua? Because Chazok she'en adam tavei elam ken yeshalai. Nobody's going to come to me and say I owe him money unless there's some truth. And there's a few ways of understanding this. The Tumim understands this because Achzuki inshi b'gneve b'rishir le'ebach zekinan. We don't assume that people are Rishoyim. And therefore, we don't assume that a person is going to come and make a claim that I owe him money if I don't. Another pshat is that nobody is meis. Nobody has the chutzpah to make such a claim against, unless there's truth to it. So the Chasam Sofer quotes his Rebbe, the Mashashach, asks a question. The Torah says that we don't have to make a shvus heses. The Torah says we only make a shvua ma'idah b'mitzvus. So how could Chazal be smarter than the Torah? That the Torah doesn't require shvua, and Chazal did institute the shvua. So Chasam Sofer says that just like we're going to learn that ein adam meis, there's a chazaka, ein adam meis panav b'fnei ba'al chayvei, that people don't have chutzpah to deny an outright claim. But that chazaka diminished over generations, says the Chasam Sofer that that's what happened. Originally, nobody will come to ask somebody to pay him, to repay him something that he doesn't owe. But that changed. And therefore, because of that, Chazal saw the need to make this, to make the shvua. However, the Rishonim say that this shvua is only said by a Tainas Bari. that the person who's making the claim that I owe him the money is saying it definitively. If he's not saying definitively, then there would not be a chiyuv shvuah. Adrabba, but ask the Gemara, why isn't there a chazaka that ain odem meis panav afnei ba'al chayvoy? If somebody will not have the chutzpah, if somebody lent me money and I owe him gratitude for owing me the money, I don't have the chutzpah to say I don't owe you money. Says the Gemara, that it's true. That's not the way people, at least in the time of Chazal, behaved. However, people are not going to outright lie and say they don't owe money when they do owe money. But they look to buy time. They don't have money to pay back. So they say, I'm going to say I don't owe you money until I have the ability to pay you. And that type of rationalization ultimately will lead to not being paid at all. So in order to prevent that from happening, Chazal instituted the Shavuos Heses. Teda, Dom Rav Ida Bar Avad Amar Chizda, HaKoifa B'melva, if somebody denies that he owes money, Kosh L'Edis, he's still kosher for Edom, even though he lied where he does owe the money. Pekadim, but if he lies about holding Pekadim, Pasul L'Edis. Why? Because by owing money, the person who denies doesn't mean to deny. He just means to buy time. He doesn't have the ability to repay, so he comes up with this excuse. But of course, he's not a lawyer, and of course, he's going to repay. But if somebody's holding something that belongs to somebody else, he's not allowed to use it, as we've explained in previous shurim. So if he says he's not holding it, he's just an outright lawyer, and that's why he's possible. Says the Gemara. However, there's a different version of this whole din, of Shavuos Heses. Rav Chaviva Masnei HaSeifa, where somebody says, money li biyotcha, you owe me money, v'amalai, and he says, yehain, alamach amalai, and then the next day he says, tanei li, and he says, nesatav loch, potter. Amram Nachman, meshbina says, Shavuos Heses, even though he says, I paid you, he still has to make a Shavuos Heses. Says the Gemara, man de Masnei Resha, in the case where the person just completely denied, and there's no proof that I ever owed you any money. Still, the Chazal said, make a Shavuos Heses, koshken a sefer, where at one point I admitted that I owed you money. Man the master is safer, but the one that said the case of Shavuos Heses is in the case where I admitted I owe you money, and now I'm changing my mind. Who the ikka dror de mamayna? There is a question. The way most Rishonim explain dror de mamayna, that there is a question to Beis Din, what is supposed to happen here? That's why a shvua is in order. Aval hasam, and the definition of drar reminder is that there's no reason to have a question. There's nothing that begins the question where you just show up and say, I owe you money, and I say, I don't. Where there's no drar reminder, there will not be an obligation of a shvua's heses. Like.